Welcome to Kilts and Chills. So what's up, guys? Did you guys like that last episode?
Yeah, let us know what you thought. Did you think it was too rigid? Did you think it was out of character? Did you think it sucked? Let us know.
Did you think we needed more commentary? We thought so.
Yes.
But we still wanted to kind of keep a semi-professional ambience to the podcast, because we know that, like, some of the comments that we make, not everyone gets it.
Yeah, and they could be perceived as highly inappropriate.
Yes, highly, very.
So very highly. We do want to keep the podcast as professional as possible, but we are going to add our commentary throughout because it does make the episode flow a lot better. Mm-hmm. But we're going to tone down the offensiveness.
The offensiveness, the sidetrackedness.
Yes.
Is that a word?
Sidetrackedness?
I don't know.
Buns. Yeah, it's fine. Buns is doing construction
today. Yeah. But it's okay. You guys can't really hear her.
Yeah.
With that being said, we were going to put the old episodes in the vault.
Yes, we're getting rid of them. So if you want to listen to them, you should do it now. Because we're getting rid of them.
Yeah, so we're going to scratch those and start over because it could be a little jarring if you go back and listen to how inappropriate and funny, honestly, we were. And then come back to this type of style where it's not really that... Not that it's not funny, but I mean...
But it's not lively.
It's not lively. Yeah, it's not us. But, so it can be jarring. It's like, what the fuck am I listening to then?
Yeah, it's like, what happened?
Yeah. So we're just gonna do away with those. Every now and then, I guess, we might cover an episode that we liked. We might, if the episode was so good, we feel that it needs to make a comeback, we'll fucking post it. Like, the Joe Wall episode.
Iconic.
God bless that episode.
If you haven't listened to that episode for whatever reason, do yourself a favor and do it.
It's episode 18 now?
Episode 18. It's the best episode we've ever released.
Oh, God. It was so good. The Wings of Babes and the Gators.
Yes.
That and the Pope Sylvester one.
That's the same one.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, that's why it's the best episode, because it's both of them.
Isn't it funny how life works out?
Honestly, you know? Yeah.
It's like, wow, just two great beings in one episode. Wow.
Wow. So if you want to listen to a pope getting the suck by a succubus, you should listen to it.
The temperature.
The temperature, Pope Sean Paul.
I love it.
I love Pope Sean Paul. He's the only religious leader I will follow.
Yes. That being said, we'll go ahead and get started on the professional part of the podcast.
Yes.
Today I'm going to cover the first case I ever covered here. The disappearance of Laura Ayala.
Yes.
And you?
Oh, me too?
Yeah, what are you
thinking? And today I will be also covering things such as Goatman's Bridge.
Wow. We're going to go there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Sometime. I mean, maybe we should wait until 2020 is over. Like, what if we actually find the Goatman?
But... as you will find out, we have no reason to fear.
Oh, okay.
As we will find out during my part of the episode.
Your segment?
My segment, yes.
I just don't like goat's feet.
I have a thing about goat's feet.
You think they're cute?
I think they're cute.
I think they're horrendous.
If I could grab a baby goat by the feet. With love.
Oh.
God. With love.
Mm-hmm.
And just like... I think they're so cute.
Neither gross.
Anyway, how's everyone doing with Corona? Hope you guys are staying safe, wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be the 2%ers.
Yeah.
Who don't and have their nose hanging out of the mask.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of having your peen out of your underwear.
Wow.
If you didn't know.
That's amazing. All right. We'll go ahead and get started.
Let's cut the case.
Yes. So, Laura Ayala. She was born October 29th, 1988. At 13 years old, her teachers fondly remember her as a model student. This ambitious little girl was in the writing club, chess club, gardening club, and was in the honor roll. She was described as small, standing at 4 feet. She was short for her age, and school administration described her as doll-like. Being a hardworking student, as her teachers described, It was late Sunday evening on March 10, 2002, when Ayala told her mom she needed to go to the gas station to buy the Sunday newspaper for a project her teacher had assigned over spring break. Ayala left her home for the Conoco gas station at 2610 Broadway at 10:15 p.m. The store was located a few hundred feet away from where she lived. When she did not return home, being such a short distance away, her mother grew panicked and went to search for her. The clerk reports that she did come into the store alone and purchased a newspaper and left. Her mother immediately contacted the police. While searching that night, they found Ayala's sandals and newspaper. The next day, volunteers had descended upon the area with the nonprofit organization Laura Recovery Center that was named for a 12-year-old girl that went missing in 1997. Tim Miller's organization, Texas Equisearch, also helped in the search for Ayala, which marked the first time they assisted with a missing person case in Houston. 30 sex offenders within a 2-mile radius of Ayala's home were investigated, but this didn't lead to anything. 2 months later, investigators were led to a tip that a young girl matching Ayala's description was on a bus and that she might have been taken to Mexico 3 days after Ayala went missing. Investigators followed the trail, and turns out that the ticket was purchased for someone under the name Laura A. The community thought that they were so close to bringing Ayala home, but in the end, nothing concrete came of it, and the suspects were cleared. Meanwhile, there was a string of crimes happening around the Houston area, one of them being 15-year-old Esmeralda Alvaro. 2 months before Ayala's disappearance, on January 18, 2002, she was last seen leaving her boyfriend's house to use a payphone. Her body was found 4 days later on January 22, 2002. Her body was nude, and the autopsy determined that she had been raped and shot point blank.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. 2 months following Ayala's disappearance, two waitresses disappeared after their shift on May 31, 2002. 24-year-old Roxana Capulin and 38-year-old Maria Rangel. Their bodies were found the next day inside Capulin's Dodge Durango. Fast forward to August of 2002. An informant contacted the police and said that he knew someone who had information on the murders of Capulin and Rangel. Fast forward to August 2002. An informant contacted the police, saying that he knew someone who had information on the murders of Capulin and Rangel. 25-year-old Walter Sorto, who was in the U.S. working illegally, claimed that he needed the reward money because his wife was pregnant. He claimed that 23-year-old Edgardo Cubas and 15-year-old Eduardo Navarro are the ones that committed the crime. Sorto confesses that he followed the two younger men in separate vehicles and left as soon as he heard gunshots. But his story slowly falls apart when the detectives ask him for a DNA sample. Sorto changes his story and insists that Cubas forced him to have sex with Rangel's corpse. A run on Sorto's name reveals that he has outstanding warrants and is arrested. After his arrest, he changes his story again. Sorto claims that all three men are driving in Cubas' Honda, looking for someone to rob because Cubas needed money to pay his rent. When they came across Capulin and Rangel leaving the restaurant, he claims that Cubas and Sorto get out of the vehicle and force the two women into Capulin's car and drive off, with Navarro following them to a remote location. Sorto says that Cubas raped Capulin, and there are mixed reports that Rangel tried to exit and escape the vehicle, and others that Cubas ordered her out of the car because he wanted privacy, and that Cubas ordered Sorto to rape Rangel. Sorto says that afterwards, he gets back in the car with Rangel and drives a bit of distance away. He puts the car in park and exits the vehicle and walks back to Navarro in the waiting Honda. Sorto claimed that he heard 3 gunshots, and when he looked back, Cubas was running towards him and the Honda. When Sorto asked what happened, Cubas replied, "I killed them whores."
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Mm-hmm. Cubas then pulled out a necklace and said that he had robbed them of their money and jewelry. Police felt that Sorto's confession was enough to arrest the other two men, and Cubas was arrested at his workplace at a construction site, and Navarro was arrested at his home. During his interrogation, Cubas admits that him and Sorto were out on the night of January 18, 2002, looking for someone to rob or rape, when they came across Alvaro talking on the payphone. Sorto forced Alvaro inside Cubas's borrowed car, and they drove to a secluded place where they took turns raping her. Cubas confessed that he was the one that shot Alvaro. February 1st, 2003, 5 months after their arrest, police were combing over Cubas' borrowed van for evidence that could help with Alvaro's trial, when they came across an unknown female's DNA, and also one of the men's semen.
Ew.
Yeah. The detective said, you better get Laura's family, and tested the DNA against her family, and it was a match. Due to the lack of evidence, the men were never charged for Ayala's murder. Sordo and Cubas were sentenced to death. Sordo has appealed his death sentence because he didn't know English and his interpreter didn't know what he was doing. Sordo and Cubas were sentenced to death. Cubas' death sentence was overturned because he was found not mentally fit, so he is now serving a life sentence. Because Navarro was a minor at the time of the crimes, he only served 13 years of prison time for his involvement in the crimes. He got off lightly and was actually released on August 20th, 2015. In total, the men were actually suspected of 6 more homicides where they were key persons of interest. But that's it. That was it.
Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you for being so patient with me. Fucking fuck. In the end, I mean, Laura still hasn't been found. We don't know where they dumped her body. Her mother still, to this day, like, every year, like, I think every other year they post her on, like, news and stuff. Mm. And, like, her mother still, like, doesn't move from her house. She's, like, waiting for her daughter to come home. And that's, like,
that's so sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. And I think, yeah, I did mention it. Like, the last time, the first time we recorded this, back when, I think I told you that, like, her missing persons poster, when I first looked at it, I was 8 years old mm-hmm. when she went missing. And, like, to me, she looked so grown. She looked like a woman. Like, she looked so, not old, but, I mean, she looked older than me. Mm-hmm. And, like, now I look at her pictures, like, that's literally a baby.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She should have, I think she should be, like, 30 now. Like 30-something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 32.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I hope they bring her home.
Yeah, that would be...
Eventually.
That'd be good.
Yeah, yeah.
One can hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Me?
So, yes, what do you have for me?
I have today the Goatman's Bridge, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Goatman's Bridge is not actually named the Goatman's Bridge. It's actually named the Old Alton Bridge, and it was built in 1884 by the King Iron Bridge Manufacturing Company, which originally carried horses over the Hickory Creek. The bridge gets its name from the abandoned community of Alton, which from 1850 through 1856 was a part of Denton County,
oh, okay.
Texas.
Oh.
It remained in use up until 2001.
Conspiracy?
9/11. But the bridge isn't particularly known for being helpful to cross the creek. Instead, it's known for its spooky aspects.
Oh.
And the encounters people have had on this bridge.
I don't like that.
Legend has it that an African-American entrepreneur named Oscar Washburn, nicknamed the Goatman, lovingly by his people and his family, had a farm of goats in which he would make quality meat, cheeses, and hides, and he would sell yarn spun by his wife. He was very well known for the quality of his goods, so when he proudly hung up a sign on the Old Alton Bridge with the words, "This way to the Goat Man," it angered the local KKK members because of how much Washburn and his family were thriving.
Wow.
And they did not want to see a young, successful black man in their...
So just classic white people.
Classic white people. The Clavern.
The Clavern. God damn it, love it.
At the time, it wasn't pleasing to the Klansmen to see how an African-American was not struggling financially. And it is as though this was the sole reason they became a target in their eyes.
Mm.
So they began to plot how they would be getting rid of the Goatman. On a late 1930s night, the Klansmen stormed Oscar Washburn's shack and dragged him out to the bridge where they had a noose waiting for him. They put the noose around his neck and swung him off the side of the bridge. When they went below to mm-hmm. check to make sure he was dead, they found themselves not only with just an empty noose, but there was no body to be found.
Wow.
Gone. Disappeared.
Good.
Yes.
Got away.
Allegedly.
Oh.
He was gone. Dan, focus. This is spooky. He was gone.
I thought he, like, escaped.
No, he was gone.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, go on.
You're like, I understand now.
Yes.
They checked the surrounding areas, but Washburn was nowhere to be found. Finally, when they gave up on looking for the victim, they returned to his shack and lit it on fire with his family inside. Mm-hmm. It is said that since that night, a vengeful spirit has been haunting the bridge.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, they set the family on fire.
That's...
like, the kiddos, the mom. That's
fucked.
The goats.
Oh, no, come on.
It is said that if you knock on the steel bridge 3 times at midnight, or if you turn your car's headlights off and knock 3 times, it summons the vicious goat man.
Oh, wow.
Right along with a stench of decaying flesh, as we are a fan of.
The stench of
death and
death
decay.
Death, decay, and destruction.
Love it. Other reports say you often see glowing red eyes from the darkness or a goat-headed man-beast stomping about in the forest. Another even claims to see a satyr carrying the heads of goats or humans in his hands. There is even a claim of hearing water splash below, followed by an unsettling evil laughter.
Whoa.
Yes, and apparently the goat man, this is why I mentioned that if you and I went to the bridge, we would be safe, because... apparently, the goat man only goes after those who are within the bloodlines of clansmen and slave owners.
Oh, great. That's not me.
We're so good.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
What's going to happen to us on the bridge? Nothing. We're going to have a wonderful experience. The goat man's going to come dance with us.
Yes.
We're going to have a party.
Yep.
So, some people claim that Satanists actually opened a portal to a demon, while others say the goat man's wife is also haunting the bridge because she is still searching for her children even in the afterlife.
Wow.
A plethora of events have taken place at this location to make it the hot spot for paranormal events that it is today.
Wow. That's crazy.
Many paranormal search crews have made it a point to investigate this area, and more well-known shows like Ghost Adventures.
I love you, Zach Bagans.
And BuzzFeed Unsolved both have made their way to this area to investigate, and some came out with more evidence than others.
Wow.
As we know, Ghost Adventures was very spooky, very like, Aaron, I feel the ghost. And like BuzzFeed Unsolved was like, demon.
Yes, I do remember that one. Fucking Shane. Ryan was like, no, stop.
Yeah, Shane was like, demon, this is my bridge now.
I do remember that one.
Another version of the story is that of a Creole slave goat herder named Jack Kendall, who was lynched by cowboys.
Oh, come on.
But when he was hung, his head separated from his body. Whoa. And then the men watched in horror as the headless body rose from the ground, powered by voodoo. He then ripped the head off of a goat, placed it on top of his shoulders, thus creating the goat man.
Wow.
Whether the goat man is a spirit seeking revenge or just a man that was wronged and wants to move on with his life in the afterlife, the bridge will continue to carry on the stories of everyone who's had experiences there.
Wow.
Whether real or not.
Wow. The end. That's breezy.
Yeah.
I'm shook. No, that was really good.
Thank you.
That makes me a little not... so scared now of the Goatman's Bridge.
I feel like paranormal like groups make it seem more spooky than it is, like
to really hype it up. Okay,
like I'm sure people have had experiences, but like also at the same time the experiences you have are derived from the vibes you carry.
Oof. Wow,
that was so deep.
That was oh my god. Yeah, but that was good. Like, wow, I can't imagine, like, going somewhere and then, like, suddenly someone with a goat for a head. I don't think that would freak me out as much as if he had, like...
goat feet.
Yes. Please stop. Yeah.
I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, but the heebies are there.
The heebies are there. They're just minimized. Because we know that we are safe because we are not clansmen.
No, we're not.
Mm-mm. Clanswomen.
Yeah. Women that made the fucking The hats.
So the hats, the little triangle hats, little cone hats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who even thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. It's
awful. How do you think it stays up?
I don't know.
They put like a little toilet paper roll in there to keep it up.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be.
But anywho, that was my story for today.
That concludes the episode of Kills and Chills.
Yes, you are dismissed.
Yes. Another thing we didn't talk about, we have seasons now. This is season two.
This is season two, the series season.
Yes. The past 2 years have been...
Season one.
Season one.
The informal years.
Yes, the informal years. This is now officially the formal years.
Yeah, who knows? Season three might be informal again. I don't know.
I don't know. Halfway through season two might be informal
again. Honestly, yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like it's better note-taking that we've been presenting, but also...
I just like...
It's like missing our soul.
It is missing our soul. If you guys prefer us to do less profesh things, let us know. Like, well, I mean, we'll take it into consideration. We'll probably switch back if you...
If you want it that bad.
If you find us so offended. Offensive. By not being offensive.
Yeah. I mean, because we could also just cut out, like, the offensive jokes. We can call each other out. Like, bro, that was not cool.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, bro, some people might be sensy to that.
Oh, yeah. Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Kills and Chills struggle accounts?
Yes.
But anywho, if you guys want to check us out, I believe you have like a week to listen to the old episodes at this rate before we stash them away.
Yeah.
We are available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, whatever the fuck you want.
All of them. iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio, yes, correct. And also, we are on social media, Instagram and Twitter, kills_chills. You can reach out to us there. Or you can email us, too. That's linked in our Instagram.
Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in, stopping by, listening to what we have to say. I forgot one more thing. If you have any information on the Laura Ayala case, call 713-222-TIPS for any information.
You did forget that.
Yeah, I did.
You said it last time, like four times.
Yeah, no, but here it is. 713-222-TIPS.
Yes.
Let's bring that girl home.
Yes.
All right.
Great. But see you. Oh, shit. All right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, go on. Finish it.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.